The scripture lesson then for this Pentecost Sunday, and this is the gospel lesson from St. John, the 7th chapter, and I want to read verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink, as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The breath of life. The breath of life. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock, and our strength, and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Well, this is Pentecost weekend. And we're trying more and more to get the understanding of what Pentecost is all about. One way to speak of it is, as our kids were sharing, that it is the last of the great 50 days of Easter. Jesus died. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Nothing that has not died will be resurrected." 50 days later, we can celebrate that Jesus died, but he arose. There was resurrection. And now there is Pentecost. This will be the time when there will be a new sense of power. This will be the time when the gospel, truly is able to bring about transformation. When I was looking at the scripture lesson, I thought one way for us to get into it was something that I think we've all experienced. We've been watching television, probably, and all of a sudden maybe the screen goes blank, and it will say, "We interrupt this program to bring you a special announcement." And I think for all of us, there's that moment of when you pause, and that moment of anxiety. What will be this special announcement? In many ways, this is what the people would experience in St. John chapter 7. It was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jerusalem is filled with people from all over. There were parties, there were family reunions. Even people who lived in Jerusalem or lived close to Jerusalem, they would move out of their homes, they would pitch tents, and there the festivities would continue. All of this so the people might remember the children of Israel and their suffering and their wandering in the wilderness. The religious ritual was also very clear at this time, for the priests would go down to the rivers, to the water of Siloam. They would come back with the water. They would pour it in the temple for all the people to see. And there was praise. As the water was being poured, Psalm 118 and 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 118 and 25, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." And then there was the sacrifice, the offering of a lamb in the temple. This went on for 7 days. But on the last day, it was truly, truly the climax of the celebration. I read in one commentary that people actually and very much lined the streets or lined the path where the priest, the leader of the temple, would be coming back. And as he was walking down the path, they were waving their palm branches frantically and shouting out their praise. For this was the last day. They wouldn't have a chance to do it again until next year. This was the last day. And they wanted to give all the praise and all the thanksgiving that they could. It was at that moment, it was as if a voice said, "We interrupt this program to bring you a special report. If anyone thirsts, let them come to me." We interrupt this program to announce that the Messiah is present. The long wait is now over. We interrupt this program to announce that the Messiah can do what no one else can do, and that is send the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus would refer to it as living water. And I like that image, because who among us is not thirsty? Thirsty for truth in our life, thirsty for justice, thirsty for peace in our world, for peace of mind. Thirsty that for all of the brokenness around us, there might be wholeness. Thirsty for love, a love that comes without cost. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, it took a long time, but now they are gathered in the upper room. And these are people now who believe, who sincerely believe in the Christ. They are gathered in the upper room to share what is the victory of Christ Jesus. And then the wind does blow, and the Spirit does come. And it comes with a great power, such a great power that on that very day, 3,000 souls are saved. There is something about the gift of the Holy Spirit that it can bring new life. It is like water. It is like water, but then it is more than water. It is living water. It can satisfy the deepest thirst, the deepest thirst. All around it that may be dead, the Spirit can bring it back to life. It takes commitment, though, great commitment. There was a young college man who went to a photography studio, and he had a framed picture of his girlfriend, and he wanted to make another copy of it. He wanted the picture duplicated. And so the artist had to take it out of his frame, and he noticed that there was something written on the back. There was this inscription: And it said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you for all eternity." It was signed, Diana. But then there was this P.S. "If we ever break up, I want my picture back." There is something about this Sunday that is really asking us as a church that there would be no P.S., that there would be no reservation, that there would be no doubt, there would be no hesitation in our spirit. And what it is that's binding us together as a church family. There is something about this Pentecost Sunday that is challenging us for commitment, challenging us for recommitment, challenging us to claim the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't let this wind blow and leave any one of us out. That is why on this day it was important for the children to come and for these beautiful flowers, and thank you all who have shared. It was important for the youth to share as only the youth can, for this choir to sing as only they can. But the Sunday wouldn't be complete unless we offered everyone the chance to be a part of it, to be a part truly in worship, to be a part in sacrament. So this morning, it is a chance for us to remember our baptism, a chance that I would invite you, as the Spirit is leading, to come forward, to be anointed with the water, to say, "Remember your baptism and be thankful." For those who would gather around the altar and who are seeking and desiring prayer, perhaps there is someone that you might want to just pray with you this morning. I know someone would be glad to. And because a part of the life of our church is a deepening of our commitment, I've asked the ushers if they might come and stand here so that as you're coming, you're bringing not only an offering of your life, bringing that first, but the offering you had to share with the church this morning. If you're not able to come forward, I'm always glad to come to you. Just let an usher know. But this is a time of recommitment. Let it be so.